Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 4. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. Christ Jesus, through whom we have come to know as Lord and Savior, by faith through his holy word, dear fellow redeemed. The Fitbit craze is upon us. The company Fitbit was organized in 2007. And the first thing it put out was the Fitbit tracker. The tracker uses a three-dimensional accelerometer to sense the user's movement. This device measures steps taken, combines it with user data to calculate distance walked, calories burned, floors climbed, and the intensity of duration and of the activity. Since that time, they've also invented the zip, the flex, the force, the charge, and the surge. So now they also measure sleep quality. Measure how long it takes you to fall asleep, how long you are restless, and even the quality of your sleep. The flex tracks your steps, your distance, calories during the day, and monitors your sleep patterns at night. And all this is done to help outfit you for life. I looked into Google and found that this company now is well worth over hundreds of millions of dollars. And perhaps some of you have some of these Fitbit things on your wrists as well. This morning, in our theme from the Apostle Paul speaking to young Pastor Timothy, we have these words: the purpose of the Bible is to outfit us for life. So that's our question this morning. Are you outfitted for life? Are you properly prepared for life? I don't mean by going out and buying a Fitbit tracker. Well, the Word of God tells us this morning that what happens to us when we're not outfitted. That's the first point this morning. The eternal dangers for those who are not outfitted or properly prepared. If we're not outfitted with God's Word, we are in danger. Eternal dangers. We're in danger of everlasting damnation. And that's far worse than not being fit or in good shape. The Apostle Paul said, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those who don't outfit themselves with the Word of God, but prepare themselves with their own human wisdom, with their own intellect, with their own ideas, they will fail. They will be led astray. They're not ready for God's judgment. They're not ready for life. God's wisdom is very clear and very simple. It's found in His Word, and it speaks to us in simple language. But man either rejects it completely and follows his own reason, or he uses his reason and wisdom to interpret God's Word, and he comes up with man-made teachings or man-made truths, which also lead away from Christ and God's Word. Paul writes, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." People will not put up with sound, literally healthy doctrine. And doctrine, of course, means teachings, because it doesn't say what they want to hear. God's Word tells me, and you, we're sinners. We're condemned and damned sinners. It also tells us that God the Father loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us and pay for all of our sins. The only way to salvation is by not trusting ourselves, but turning to Jesus. And to the world, that's foolishness. It's not reasonable. So look for teachers that will teach them according to their own desires. Their ears, Paul says, itch to hear things that flatter their ego, things that please them, things that give credit to them, things that maybe even deify them, things that satisfy their natural desires, things that make sense to their human reason. Instead of listening to the sound doctrine, many turn, Paul says, to fables and to myths. Does that happen today? Most of the world today calls creation foolishness. That there's an almighty God, one almighty God, that created everything out of nothing, created man out of the dirt of the ground, and yet they believe the myth, the fable of evolution. That everything came from one cell over billions of years of change, and we're all just higher forms of monkeys and animals. Myths and fables. Today, people reject a God who's in control of everything in this world and controls all the individual lives of people, and yet they turn to the fable that somehow the stars control our destiny and that psychics can reveal our future. Most people today don't believe there's only one God that exists. They believe the fable that the New Age movement, they're all gods. We all should look back upon the past gods, and no one has the right to tell us which God is the true God. Look into Christian teachers even, and we see that Christian theologians have rejected the truth of the Bible that is verbally inspired and inerrant and trustworthy. And so they use the historical critical analysis and say, we need to look at it historically, and you need to criticize it, we need to analyze it, because they knew so little back then, and we use our human reason, our exalted scientific knowledge, to interpret what God says. So Jesus' miracles, His being God and man in one person, His virgin birth, His resurrection, that's all discarded. And even in the largest Christian church of the world, the Catholic Church, the fables and myths of purgatory, forgiveness only through priests, good works saving us, prayer to saints, people infallibility, Mary being a co-redeemer, have captured the hearts of countless millions and millions and millions of people. Paul's words are true today. God's sound moral teachings are also lost today. Today, the world says, you can't judge anybody what's right and wrong. Everybody has their own right to decide what morality they want to choose, because there is really no morality that is right. So, the sound doctrine that condemns abortion, divorce, extramarital affairs, living together outside of marriage, homosexuality, drunkenness, gambling, that forbids women pastors, that says we shouldn't fellowship with those who teach differently than us, that's all discarded as either ancient teachings repressive to women, bigoted, loveless, not in step with the times, and therefore the itching ears of our day look upon all those contrary things and activities as being something that is okay to do. The majority of the New Testament epistles, as well as many Old Testament prophets, warn us against false teaching and false teachers. God condemns false teaching. Preaching error, listening to error, believing and supporting error, and fellowship with error does not outfit one for life. Instead, it leads to the eternal dangers of losing the gospel entirely, and then we lose our own soul salvation. Paul says, the only thing that properly outfits you and me, prepares us for life, life here and life in heaven, is the Bible, Holy Scriptures. He says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That word childhood literally means infancy. From a nursing baby, Timothy was taught the Old Testament by his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois. From the time he was in her arms, as a little baby, he was being taught about the Messiah, the coming Savior. And so we see another fable, another myth. The little babies, they can't understand and believe in Jesus Christ. They have to come to an age of accountability. Another fable that's been promoted within the Christian church. Paul says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, even from infancy. But how can we be so sure that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God, the only source of truth for your life and mine? Well, Paul writes in our text, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, every single word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is God-breathed. Peter wrote, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God determined the content, and then the Holy Spirit moved the people to write down the very words that were already determined. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But Paul, of course, was talking about the Old Testament there. The New Testament hadn't all been written yet. So how do we know the New Testament is verbally inspired? Jewish people don't believe it. Well, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And again, in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is, in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, this is the second point of our sermon theme this morning. This word of God has been given for several reasons. Paul says it's been given to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people by baptizing and by teaching. And that's what the word doctrine means, teaching. Teaching them all things that I've commanded you. All things I've commanded you is the word of God. That's what the word of God is there for us. It is for our teaching, for our doctrine, to be able to hear and know about who the triune God is, what Jesus has done for us, and all the things that God wants us to know. We also use the word of God to rebuke. Also, it means we reprove. It means to expose sin, to convict one of sin. God determines what sin is, man doesn't. And when God determines what sin is, he points to your heart and mine and says, when you don't do that, or you do that, that's wrong, that's sin. And we're convicted of our sins. And that's a good thing. The Pharisees didn't. They weren't. They looked upon Jesus as being a fake and a fraud. The known sinners were convicted. And they looked upon Jesus as their Savior. We need to be reproved and rebuked by the Word of God and convicted of our sins in order to see the need, the importance of Jesus, of our taking of the Lord's Supper, of our repenting of our sins, and looking alone to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Word of God is used for our correcting. Literally means to restore one who has fallen. We need to be brought back to the proper paths. The law convicts. The gospel then forgives, restores. Not only tells us what Jesus has done, but gives us the ability to then also follow Jesus and walk in his footsteps. And that leads to the fourth point. The Word of God is given for instruction in righteousness. It means to train or to discipline each other in everyday life of sanctification. The Word not only tells us, again, what God wants of us, the gospel message gives us the ability to say, I want to live like that. I want to live like Jesus lives. I want to live like he tells me to live, in love to one another, in serving him and putting him first in my life, in thinking and saying and acting the way God wants me to act. Paul calls that faith working through love. John wrote, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus' love for you moves you to want to love him in return. And then he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And it's not a one-shot deal. That's a continual day after day after day effort of living for Jesus. So do you want to be properly outfitted for life? Properly prepared for eternity? God says, I've given you everything you need. Everything you need is right here in his word. But it does no good if we don't know it. Many Christians know a lot of facts about the Bible. They know the Bible's got two parts. Old, New Testament. 39 books, 27. Old, Hebrew. New Testament, Greek. Portions are history, poetry, prophecy, Gospels, epistles. Many can recite all the books of the Bible in order in 60 seconds or less. That's not knowing the scriptures. That's not being properly prepared and outfitted for life. That's reading, hearing, learning, studying, believing what it says, and putting it into practice. Paul says it is living it. He began our sermon text with these words. But as for you, and he's talking to Timothy, as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Timothy had a firm grasp of the Old Testament prophecies. He was centered in God's word. And Paul says, continue in that word until you die. And then Paul said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, meaning patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions. Paul's encouraging Timothy to also follow his example based on the Word of God. And that's an important truth of this word to us today. You are examples to the world. As parents, examples to your children. Your examples to your friends. Your examples to your neighbors. Your fellow classmates. Your fellow workers. To strangers who don't even know you. Your examples to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. What kind of example are we? Do people see that we're different from the rest of the world by what we say? How we act? Do they see that we have a purpose to our life and that gives us the reason for our conduct? Do they see that we believe in Jesus Christ only for everlasting life and therefore that's why we show love to others and forgive others? Do they also see our patience in suffering, our confidence even in times of affliction and trouble and disaster? We need to continue in God's Word, that Word which most of us learned from infancy on as well. So our conclusion to this morning's sermon is the same as our theme. The purpose of the Bible is to outfit you and outfit me, properly prepare us for life, to teach us that God so loved us that he sent his Son into this world to take our place, that Jesus loved us so much he gave his life for us, a perfect life for us, that we were led to repent of our sins and look to Jesus alone for forgiveness and life and salvation, and once faith has been created in our hearts, that we tell others and we are an example to others so that they are attracted to God's Word. Paul's encouragement to you and me: remain in the Word. As we close again with some of his words, he says to all of us, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And then he says to me as pastor, "Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." May the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, apply his grace to all of us, both all of us as members of this congregation, Peace of Christ, and to myself also as your called pastor. We ask this in Jesus' saving name. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.